The Massacre Tuesday of 19 children, two teachers in Uvalde, Texas, was the deadliest school shooting in the country since Sandy Hook in 2012. You may recall 20 young students and six adults were killed in Newtown, Connecticut. Marianne Jacob was there as a library clerk at Sandy Hook Elementary, and she's now a volunteer with Moms Demand Action, supporting stronger gun controls. Marianne joins us from Newtown. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
As someone who survived the shooting at Sandy Hook, what was it like seeing the news in Uvalde this week, fourth grade classroom?
I think, you know, of all of the school shootings, of which there have been many, since the tragedy at Sandy Hook, this one hit particularly hard because of the similarities in terms of the shooter being a member of the local community, the students being so close in age, the smallness of the community, the elementary school. I think for those of us here in Sandy Hook who did survive, it was much more jarring. And given that we're approaching the 10-year anniversary, I think it was especially difficult knowing that it's still happening.
Yeah, well, it was almost 10 years ago when you and other adults protected 19 children that day by barricading yourselves in a closet with bookshelves during the shooting. What was that moment like, if I can ask you to talk about it?
Well, we actually ended up in the closet, unbeknownst to us, after the shooting had ended. We were just beginning our day at school when we heard some noises that we couldn't identify. And I called down to the office, and from under her desk, the school secretary answered the phone and said, "There's a shooter in the building." So I hung up the phone and ran across the hallway to the two classrooms across from us and told them to lock down. And when I came back, the librarian was already beginning to line kids up along the wall in a specific place that we had already practiced our lockdown drills on. And we stayed there listening to 150 or more gunshots for the next several minutes, trying to keep the kids calm and act like we were having a drill. And at some point, one of the doors that we had thought we had locked began to open, and the barrel of a long gun came around the corner, and we all honestly thought that that was the shooter. And then for a brief moment, until the face of a police officer came around the corner, basically telling us, I think, to stay where we were. We knew the doors weren't properly locked, so we crawled across the floor into a storage closet, which was the point where they really started becoming more scared. And we waited there for more than an hour, as I recall. And when they knocked on the door, we made them, the police, put their badges under the doorway. And once we knew they were okay, I opened the door slight bit and saw the faces of multiple law enforcement in tactical gear. And that, you know, again, another sort of, oh, wow, something really scary is going on.
You know, it's been 10 years now. You work for an advocacy organization, and there has been no significant change to the nation's gun laws. If anything, more loosening at the state level. Do you think things are going to stay the same?
You know, that's a great question. I think, you know, all indications are from the folks that oppose any kind of restrictions on gun ownership at all, despite them being common sense and proven to work. Today, there doesn't seem to be any movement. But I really am a believer that in order to get our elected officials to act, every single one of us needs to be pressuring them to act. And until those elected officials feel an unrelenting pressure from the majority of their constituents, they're not going to change their position.
And briefly, back to Uvalde, Texas, what advice might you have for educators there who are having to go back to work, deciding whether to go back to work, who are reliving the trauma and having to talk to children about it?
Well, I think they're honestly a long way from even thinking about that. They're probably, you know, at this point, after our tragedy, we were making a spreadsheet to figure out which funeral was at what time on what day, and trying to figure out how to do all of those things. You know, the initial reaction is that you can't go back, but then you realize you have to go back for the kids that survived, because they're counting on you and they, you know, want to have stability when you go back. And that often means that the adults who are caring for those kids, both the parents, mainly women, who will probably also have their own children at home they're trying to deal with, have to put aside their own grief and trauma in order to function on a day-to-day basis. And my message is just as much for the administration in that area, that they need to make sure that they have really good mental health support for those teachers, not just for the children when they're returning, to make sure that they can support them throughout the day. And to let those teachers know that, you know, we're there for them. And if they need to talk or they need to hear from someone who's been through it, I think I can speak for every single survivor at Sandy Hook to say, we're here for you. And we know that what you're going through is unfathomable.
Mary Ann Jacob was a library clerk at Sandy Hook Elementary 10 years ago. She's now a volunteer with Moms Demand Action. Mary Ann, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.